Kia ora, welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. But right now, we're going to hear from our Wellington youth pastor, Victoria Latoa. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Oh God, we come to meet with you this morning. We come to give you honor and glory. We pray that these next few moments, God, may you speak to every person. Use my words for your glory, God. Do with us what you want. Undo us in your presence in order to bring glory to your name. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow, just tearing up just then. It's going to be great this morning. The concept of the fear of the Lord. It can be maybe a hard concept to grasp in such a casual culture in our world today. That God is holy can be kind of an interesting, confusing, maybe even discouraging thing to understand in such a culture that is so lukewarm and consumed by the ways of the world. But the same God that we worship today in this room where you are online, the same God that we worship, that we encounter today, is the same God that we read about in the scriptures. So who is that God? The same God who created the world, who hung the stars, who parted the Red Sea, who delivered his people from slavery. The same God who showed up in a pillar of fire. The same God who came in a cloud of glory, who provided manna in the wilderness, honey from the rock, water from the stone. That God, the God who overcame armies, who healed the sick, brought sight to the blind. The same God who gave wholeness to those who were broken. The same God who holds the keys to Hades. The same God who overcame death through his own death and rose again. The same God who is returning for his bride is the very same God, our church, that we worship today, that we encounter in this room today. He is no less holy now than he was back then, as you read in the scriptures. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That is the God that we encounter today. The weight and the worth of his glory are unchanging. Therefore, we must not allow the apathy of the world to influence us to cheapen the holiness of God, the temptation to trivialize the cross. We must never, ever, ever dilute in our minds what it cost the Lord to pay our debt, to take our sin and exchange it for his righteousness through the act of the cross. Throughout the scriptures, the fear of the Lord is described as immense respect, awe, and wonder of God's holiness. It's a trembling at his splendor, power, and majesty. It's not terror or dread that causes you to run away and hide. No, the fear of the Lord is to honor him and to value his presence, to value his presence, to seek his face and submit to his will. The fear of the Lord is to recognize his power and still understand that we have been invited in. Amen? Yes. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Fear of God, as seen in the scripture, it's an open door to knowledge and understanding. If you want wisdom, if you want to understand this life, if you're trying to make sense of what is happening in the world right now, if you are wrestling with God, the fear of the Lord is the opening door. Yeah. It's what guides us, leads us, and directs us. And without the fear of God in our lives, we run the risk of having shallow, apathetic, or self-centered faith. The church father, St. Augustine, says this, "Where there is no fear of the Lord, there is perverted life." Without the fear of the Lord in your life, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that you can properly live and move towards. To put it simply, the fear of the Lord is to see God rightly. It's to truly know God. Proverbs 2 verse 5 says this, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. These two things go hand in hand. The fear of God is the starting place of intimately knowing God. You can't begin to know God, even comprehend Him, without the fear of God. And it's about seeing Him rightly, as I said before. Not the God that we've constructed in our own minds. Not the God that we think we know. Not the God that content creators on the internet try and shape to their own preference in their two-minute videos. No, stop it. That is not the God that we worship, because we don't get to tell God who He is, guys. Sorry, newsflash. We can't. We don't get to do that. We don't get to shape God to our preferences. He tells us who He is. God self-defines. And He is so great in His mercy to give us the self-revelation. In Proverbs 9, as I read before, about how it's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. Solomon here, he's not inviting us to know a God that we can vote on based on his ideas. Solomon's not telling us to come to a God that we can opt in and out of depending on how we feel based on the day. No, he calls Him the Holy One. Solomon says He is the Holy One. And He is urging us as believers towards fear of the Lord. And when we see God rightly, when we see Him for who He really is, what should be our response? Reverent awe. The holy, sacred response of humility, a surrendered life, unashamed worship and praise when you come on a Sunday unto God. It is about giving your life to Jesus wholly and fully, nothing held back. Awe, wonder, reverence, being undone in the presence of God. To fear the Lord means that we refuse to grow familiar with His holiness. We must not let, we must not let apathy, complacency, or compromise be the lens in which we view the Holy One. Why? Because He is holy. And I want to challenge you this morning that if you come into God's presence on a Sunday or maybe at home when you're worshiping Him and there is no reverence in God's presence, then maybe we are knowing Him not as He is, but how we want Him to be. Crazy. Where there is no reverence, maybe we are not knowing Him as He really is, but rather how we want Him to be. More of an idea than a person, and that is dangerous ground to tread. One of the things the fear of the Lord gives us is more intimacy with God, not less. It's an invitation into intimacy. The Father's call into friendship, but it's friendship on His term and not ours. The key scripture of today is Psalm 25, verse 14. It says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. Other translations say, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him." The secret of the Lord. It's always fun being let into a secret. A couple years ago, I had the honor and privilege of being let into the secret planning of one of my best friend's engagements. It's very, very, very exciting. Her boyfriend added me and two of our other best friends to this group chat. We were discussing plans. He was giving his thoughts. We gave our feedback, honest feedback as you do, as a loyal friend. And it was just so exciting. It was so thrilling. We were giggling and laughing. And it was super, super exciting. And there is a massive honor and privilege and weight that you feel when you're let into such a beautiful, beautiful secret. The Hebrew word for friendship is often linked with confidentiality or entrusting secrets. God reveals mysteries, discloses Himself, and is intimate with those who fear Him. Psalm 25, 14, as we read before, the scripture implies that there are mysteries and depths of God's nature and plan that are not readily apparent to just everyone. It's the idea that there is intimate knowledge reserved for those who revere God and stand in awe of Him. That there is a deeper closeness, a sweeter communion, a richer nearness reserved for who? For those who fear the Lord. Author Joy Dawson writes this, God longs to manifest himself in far greater ways to his people. He longs to, but he does not reward casual inquirers, only diligent seekers. Only diligent seekers. We see this backed up in Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Then the second half of Psalm 25 verse 14 says, he will make known to them his covenant. He will make known to them his covenant. Once again, we see how the fear of the Lord is linked with knowledge, with understanding, as seen previously in Proverbs 9 verse 10. The covenant here of God represents the promises and agreements between God and his people. It's his covenant of grace, of love, of freedom, that he will redeem all those who call upon his name. Here in the scripture, he is revealing his covenant to who? To those who fear him. And in doing so, he is reminding them that he is faithful and he is true. There is an emphasis here on the significance of fearing the Lord in order to experience a greater friendship with him. Fear of the Lord comes first, greater depth of friendship comes as a result. God rewards those who diligently seek him and fear him. And what is the reward? It's friendship, it's intimacy, it's a nearness to God that is even closer than your very bones. It is experiencing the intimate presence of God. And we see this all throughout the scriptures. The people, the very people who experienced the most intimacy with God, didn't just know his love and tenderness, but they also knew his holiness, and they were overcome and fused with a sacred fear of God. And if you don't believe me, here we go. Here's some examples. Okay, Abraham, he's known as the father of the faith. God himself calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Exodus 3. And Abraham was called, in James 2 in the New Testament, he was called God's friend. So we have Abraham who was a close friendship with God. Yet, when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham obeyed in what? In reverent fear of God, as Genesis 22 says. That he didn't just know the closeness of God as a friend of God. He knew that God was holy and worthy to be feared, and he responded in obedience. Then we have David. We all know this guy. He was called a man after God's own heart, as 1 Samuel 13 says. David, he's the guy that wrote the Psalms, the songs, pouring out his love, his trust, and his friendship with God. So there's a close relationship there. Yet, in 2 Samuel 6, it talks about when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God, when Uzzah touched the Ark and died, David was afraid of the Lord that day. He was consumed with the fear of the Lord because he knew that God's presence was not to be taken lightly. He's carrying the two hand in hand, the love and tenderness and the holiness and might of God. Then we have Isaiah. He was called the prophet, and he received visions from where? From God's throne room. He received visions of God's throne room in Isaiah 6. That is pretty intimate if you ask me. Yet, when he was in God's presence in the throne room, he cried out this, "Woe to me, I am ruined because of his sin and his unclean lips." He was aware of his sin because of the holiness of God. Isaiah knew both those things. They go hand in hand. Then the New Testament, we've got Peter. He was one of Christ's disciples. He walked with Jesus daily. They shared meals. Peter called him Lord. Yet, after the miraculous catch of fish, Peter falls at the feet of Jesus and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," says in Luke 5. Peter sensed Jesus's holiness. He walked with this guy every day, shared meals, did life together, yet he still knew the holiness of God. Yeah, wow. Then we have Paul, who wrote majority of the New Testament. And he speaks of knowing God personally, which is amazing. He even said in Philippians 3 verse 8, everything is a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. That is intimate friendship. That is a longing, a desire to be with the Lord. Yet, as we know in Acts 6, on the road to Damascus, Paul was blinded by God's glory and he trembled in fear. He trembled in fear. And then later, in one of his letters, he urged believers to work out your salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2. Paul knew both. He held both in tension, the love, the desire, the intimacy with God, but also the fear, the trembling that comes in the holiness of God. The band can join me tonight. But probably one of the best and most significant examples we see is Moses. Exodus 33 says this, "The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." How beautiful is that? Moses pleaded with God to see more of his glory. And in response to Moses' diligent and desperate cry, God responded this in Exodus 34, verse 5. "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name." This is God's self-revelation. "He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.' Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." To have intimate friendship with God, yes, is to know his compassion, love, mercy, patience, faithfulness. Yet it's also to know his justice, his holiness, and his wrath and hatred against sin. Exodus 34, this passage, it is the most repeated and re-quoted passage throughout the entire Bible. How amazing is that? It is the most repeated and re-quoted passage throughout the entire Bible. It's God's self-revelation. And God revealed this to who? The person who feared him. And what was Moses' response to this revelation of God? Verse 8 says this, "Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped." He bowed to the ground and worshipped. Moses is called a friend of God, one who spoke with God face to face. Yet here he is, the friend of God, on his face before the Holy One. Moses understood that friendship with God, intimacy with him, is reserved for those who fear him. St. Augustine said, "The fear of the Lord is the servant of love. It guards the vineyard where love will later dwell." The fear of God is the servant of love. It guards the vineyard where love will later dwell. What does this mean? It means that the fear of God prepares our hearts for true love with him. It cultivates the soil of our hearts. It readies our souls. It paves the way for love to flourish. Fear of God purifies us and prepares us to experience the love of God that will ultimately perfect us. Because when you fear God, when you know him for who he really is, when you stand in awe of his beauty and his splendor and his power and his might and his holiness, when you know God truly, when you fear him, it is impossible not to love him. That's where the love comes from the fear of God. For anyone who truly knows him, it is impossible not to desire him. For anyone who truly knows him, it is impossible to be satisfied by anything or anyone else in this world than God himself. Psalm 65 verse 4 says this, "Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Blessed is the one who you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. Church, the greatest honor we can ever attain, the greatest thing we can ever achieve, is to be drawn by God into his presence, is to be drawn by God into his courts, because to be near him is our greatest good. Psalm 25 again. The friendship of the Lord, the secret of the Lord, is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Who does God bring in close? Who does God invite to dwell in his courts? Who does God bring into his secret council, into his richest friendship, his deepest union? Who does God bring into that place? The one who fears him. The one who sees him rightly and responds with reverence, awe, and wonder, beholding him as he truly and rightly is. And I really believe this morning that maybe there's people in this room and you don't actually know if you have that desire to love God more, to know him more. Can I challenge you to actually ponder on the thought, man, do I actually fear God? Have I taken the first step in my walk with God to actually know him rightly? To stop trying to make excuses for the things I do just because God's just all love and whatever, he'll forgive me later, but actually to approach our lives every day with the fear of God. Because he is holy and righteous, and he is returning, and he will make all things right, and he is returning for a pure bride, and he is inviting you in to know him, but you must fear the Lord first. With every eye closed in this room this morning, I want to encourage you that this is the same friendship and intimacy that God is calling you to today. Every single person in this room and those watching online, God is calling you into a deeper friendship with God. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that. You know that God is prompting your heart. He is leading you towards him. And maybe there's some of you in this room today and those online, but you can't actually say that you know God truly. That you can't actually say that you have a personal, authentic, deep relationship with God. Well, today is the day that you can respond to his call, to his voice, to his invitation into intimacy. As we said before, God is holy. God is holy. He is set apart. And we as humans, we are not. It's the reality. The scriptures say that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, we have been separated from God because of our sin. Yet God, in his infinite mercy and grace, sent his Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus came, he put on human flesh, and he actually, even though he was blameless, he took on all the sin of the world and he died on the cross. It was the great exchange. He exchanged our sin so we could receive the righteousness of Christ and be reunited with God. And this means that we can be saved and be in friendship with him. And that salvation is available for every person today in this room. Do you want to accept that gift? Do you want to accept the freedom that comes, the intimacy, the peace, the joy, the love, the fulfillment of life that comes with saying yes to Jesus? And how do you accept this gift? The scriptures are clear. It's through repentance. This is a word that means a turning from your old ways and a turning back to Christ. Repentance means making God not just your Savior, but your Lord, and that you give your life to him because he gave his for you. I'd love to pray a prayer with every person in this room this morning that doesn't feel like that is true for them right now, and those online as well. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that He was raised from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will be saved. So we're going to pray a prayer of repentance, confessing, God, I'm coming back to you today. I'm coming back to you. I'm so done with living my old ways. I'm so done with trying to shape you to who I want you to be, but rather I want to be invited into this intimate friendship with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to know who I'm praying with this morning. Just in a moment, I'm going to get you to lift your hand on the count of three, just so I know who I'm praying with, who I'm praying for. And then as an entire church family, we are going to say the prayer together. I'll say one line and you can say it after me. But right now, be honest with yourself. Do I know God? When I walk out of this room, do I know that my eternity is secure in Him? Or have I not yet accepted the gift of salvation? It is the sweetest gift to be secure in Christ, to know that He is the one who saves you, redeems you, gives you a fresh start, and is calling you to know Him. So on the count of three, if that is you in this room, I'd love you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with. It's just me looking around this morning. And those of you online, you can respond in the chat. And maybe you have responded before, but you've walked away. This moment is for you. Maybe it's your first time in church and it's the first time you're hearing about this Jesus guy, then this moment is for you. Do not leave this room without knowing Jesus truly and rightly for yourself. So on the count of 3, 2, 1, I'd love you to lift your hand. 3, 2, 1, all across the room. If that is you, I see that hand, I see that hand, amazing. I see that hand, awesome. I see that hand, amazing. I see that hand in the back, incredible, awesome. Keep raising your hands. This is amazing. Keep praying. If you're a believer in this room, pray for the gift of salvation to be received this morning. Anyone else? One last time, I'm going to look around the room. Amazing. So beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Okay, well, let's pray together. All together, let's say, Dear Lord Jesus, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and raising to life so I can know you. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for going my own way. But today I return to you. Be my Lord, be my Savior, now and forever. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate about 5 or 6 people in this room? Gave their life to Jesus. That is so worth every prayer. Can every person stand to their feet this morning? This has been a really weighty message to carry the last couple of weeks. Why? Because God is just so good. He is a God who is holy and righteous, yet a God who is so sweet and beautiful, who brings us in. So don't get distracted. Let's lock in this morning, guys. Let's not move around. God is holy and He's in this place. He is moving among us this morning. Maybe you're in this room and if you're honest with yourself, you can't actually testify that you actually fear God. That maybe you have been so consumed by what the world has been saying about God. Or maybe you have been living a life and you've just been trying to shape God to that life that you're living, that you actually now see God not as He is, but rather how you want Him to be. And this is the moment this morning where that veil can be lifted, where the scales can fall from your eyes and you can see God rightly. And the way that you do that is actually through repentance, coming back to God, saying, God, I am so sorry for seeing you the way that I want to see you, more than how you really are. The last couple of weeks, I haven't repented as much as I have in the last 3 weeks in so long. Every couple of days as I'm with the Lord, being undone in His presence, I just realize, oh my goodness, I have the wrong view of God. Or this idea from the world, from the flesh, has actually snuck into the way that I'm seeing God. And so I found myself day after day, the last couple of weeks, on my knees before God, repenting and asking Him to help me see Him rightly and truly. God, help me to love you more. God, help me to live a holy life that is worthy of you, because you are worthy of it all, God. God, break every lie that has tried to choke me down and help me to see you as you really and truly are. So this morning, we're going to do that, every person, because I did it this morning and last night, and we'll keep doing it the rest of my life, is coming back, as Pastor Anna spoke, coming back to the mat, coming back to the place where we see God, where we behold Him in awe and reverence. But we've got to repent, right? We've got to be honest with ourselves and be like, God, forgive me for where I've strayed. Forgive me from where I've kind of gone off track. And I really felt in my heart this morning that a physical posture of repentance and surrender unlocks something amazing within our souls, within our spirits. So we're not going to open the altar this morning. Instead, I'm going to invite and encourage every person in this room this morning to get on your knees before God, in your seat wherever you are. If you're physically able, then please do so right now. And if you can't because of some physical ailment, then feel free to sit in your seat and lean forward. Come on, God is in this room. We sung before that there is no one like the Lord. Moses, he said, in Exodus 34, it says that Moses bowed in worship before God. He bowed his head. So if you can do that, then please do so right now. And if you're in your seat, don't lean back, but lean forward. Posture yourself in order to repent before God. And the band's gonna play an instrumental just a little bit louder than this. And I want every person in this room to pray out loud. It can be as quiet or as loud as you wish. And it's just a prayer of repentance, saying, God, I come back to you. God, show me the parts of my heart where I'm not seeing you for who you really are. God, I come before you. I'm sorry. Come and cleanse my heart. So we're not gonna sing, we're just gonna pray. This room is gonna be a house of prayer to the Lord this morning as we come before Him. So let's pray in your own time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.